on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers, this is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor, Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. This is our Tuesday, August 26, 2025 edition, and summer is hurtling to an end, unfortunately, just a month left, roughly. And this is a time where there's a lot of volatility in the market, typically. Right now, it's a lot of headlines, that's for sure. But not a lot of movement, really, one way or the other, on equities over the past, call it month or so. But that's not what this show is about. The show isn't just about what's happening now. It's also answering your finance and investment question, giving you perspective, and doing a deep dive in particular topics that are important. It's what we bring to you, perspective and data and discussions around important data points, important topics that will drive economic growth, sector growth, or lack thereof. And all this is to help inform you on how to make better decisions with your money. You know, what asset classes to avoid, what to lean into, depending on market environment, both in the short, medium, and long term. So that's what this hour is dedicated to you to do, is help you take your next step in your own version of financial freedom. So in just a bit, we'll talk about today's market performance and run down the show topics that we'll discuss throughout the hour. But as usual, we'll tackle this first caller question now.
Hey guys, I was going to ask you about Campbell's CPB. I bought this position a little while back and I've lost about 10%. I'm just curious what's going on here, if you think I should bail or if it's starting to look a little more affordable. Thanks.
All right, looking at Campbell's Soup, I don't think I need to tell everybody what Campbell's does. Obviously, they make tons of canned soup, beverages, meals, etc. Been around for a long time, and it's a name almost all Americans know. However, this is, to me, one of those perfect value traps. It has a name that looks stable. It has a dividend that looks attractive, 4.8% now. I'm sure when this caller bought it, it was even a bit higher than that. It was a bit lower than that, right? Because it's gone up, obviously, since it's gone down. But earnings are headed lower. And if you look at its payout ratio, it's paying out all of its earnings. Now, it's not paying all of its cash flow, but it's paying out all of its earnings in the dividend, which is certainly not sustainable. And earnings, guess what, are set to decline. 5% this year and 11% next year. There are a lot of these, I would say, old brands. Brands that have been around decades. Brands that, you know, when I was a kid, I used. Think of Campbell's, think of Kellogg, think of a lot of the packaged food names that are out there. Tastes are evolving. And frankly, the newer, younger generations are more focused on health and they want less packaged goods. And so this is, from a secular perspective, simply not a great place to be. Then you add on top of that, it has a competitive market. And Campbell's runs on not very high margins, 13% operating margins. And that has continued to come down over the last couple decades. And so cash flows are still good, $711 million, but they're on the decline from a peak over $1 billion in 2020. And the issue is they have a lot of debt. About $7 billion in net debt in its balance sheet on a market cap of $9.5 billion. Not to say that it's not sustainable in the near term, but if earnings continue to decline, margins continue to go under pressure, well, you know, that's going to strain their balance sheet. And they're probably going to cut that dividend at some point. Now, to be fair, I don't think it's at risk of being cut soon. But the chart is telling you that it's headed in that direction. So you're buying this for the stability of the brand and the dividend yield. Remember, you always have to look at the quality of the earnings, the sustainability of the earnings, and the balance sheet when you're looking at dividend payers. And this just does not check the majority of the boxes you need. So I'm absolutely selling this name. I would move on. I just don't like names with this level of debt with declining earnings. Thanks for the call. 8899 chart, 8892-4278. So I get through and ask your question on today's show. And we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes. And our main focus point is about how Fed Chair Jerome Powell is worried about the job market, but here are three red flags for workers. And we'll dig into some data around the labor market that is kind of less discussed, okay? Kind of parse out where the weakness is, where the issues are in today's labor market. In addition, we'll touch on kind of expansion of that, which is immigration, right? The Fed Chair or the labor market data that we'll discuss is more around demand for workers, but we also want to hit on the data around the supply of workers and that trajectory and what type of impact that will have on the broader economy. And we'll look at a recent meeting at the White House in regards to copper project. And we'll dig into why this is becoming such an important discussion for the nation, for AI build out, for modernizing the electric grid, infrastructure building, etc. Copper is a big part of this. And we'll dig into that story because I do think that is vitally important. What else do we have? We also have voice bank calls. Earnings forecast is one call. And then Nike is another. And we have some questions that came in earlier from the Invest Talk YouTube channel. Of course, I welcome your finance and investment questions right now. But we're going to head into a break. Please remember, you can call anytime and leave your question on the Invest Talk voice bank. And if you're listening via our live stream or on AM 1220 in the Bay Area, you can call now at 888-99-CHART. And up next, I will comment on today's market activity.
Serious investors are certain to have finance and investment questions.
Wanted to get your take on W.W. Granger.
And the best person to ask your question in the right way is you.
And I was wondering, from your standpoint, is there a downside in buying fractional shares versus whole shares?
And 24/7, rain or shine, Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero stand ready to provide their unbiased answers.
The issue, though, is really over the last decade or so, it's never maintained this level of profitability for a long period of time.
Commodities are incredibly volatile, so when the going is good, take some profit.
Your participation makes InvestTalk better.
My name is Mike. I'm calling in from Orange County, California.
And this is Lewis calling from Bolivia.
Let's go talk to Chris in Maine.
So don't forget to call Invest Talk.
First off, great show. I learned a lot from you too.
888-99-CHART.
Hiring shouldn't be a hassle, nor a drain on your budget, right? Okay, then maybe you should look into Upwork. Upwork is a one-stop shop to find, hire, and pay top freelance talent. Upwork can save you time and help keep costs in check. The truth is, scaling your business requires the right expertise at the right time. With Upwork, you can find specialized freelancers in marketing, development, design, and more. Experts who are ready to help you take your business to the next level. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. There's no cost to join, so you can register and then browse freelancer profiles. Plus, you can get help drafting a job post and even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that understand you. Upwork makes the entire process easier, simpler, and more affordable, with industry-low fees. So, post a job today and hire tomorrow with Upwork. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That is Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com. Upwork.com.
The calls are free. The unbiased answers are free. So what are you waiting for? Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Let's go take a look at the market today. It was a modest up day. Nice little bounce back after yesterday's sell-off. We closed near the lows. And today you had the NASDAQ up about 44 basis points, S&P up 41 basis points, the Dow up about a third of 1%. And you mainly had strength out of names like Eli Lilly. They had some good news around one of their weight loss drugs, up 5.8% there. Some of the Mag 7 names, Microsoft, Google, and Oracle were all down. You had Apple, Nvidia, Broadcom up all about 1% there. Meta was about flat, Amazon about flat, and Tesla, that was up 1.4% on the day. The strength was really around the financial sector. You had Capital One up nearly 2%, JP Morgan about 1.25%, Bank of America 1.5%, Wells Fargo 1.75%. So that's where you saw really the strength in the markets today. Outside of that, you kind of had a mixed picture, to be honest with you. It was some good, some bad, but really still not a whole lot doing until tomorrow's earnings around NVIDIA. It's after the close. That is the largest weighting in the market now. And clearly it has a lot of downstream ramifications for the broader market. So we'll see what those earnings look like and what the reaction in markets will be. And then on Friday with the PCE number, and that will be a big factor, swing factor in what the Fed is likely to do going forward. But the big news in today's market was Fed Governor Cook is trying to be fired by the president. Now, obviously, she is saying she won't step down and she's challenging this. Odds are good she will stay. There's no prosecution around the allegations. So we'll see. This obviously could go in many directions, but I think the market wasn't happy about it, right? Dollar down. Let's see, how much was the dollar down? Down about 2.2%. So not a huge move there, but gold did finish up about 0.5%. Bitcoin was up 0.3%. Bitcoin still remains relatively weak, though. And I've been talking about this. If this breaks the 112 level, that's starting to turn the Bitcoin price chart from bullish to, at best, neutral. I would call it neutral now. And right now we're at one. We broke it down to 110. Now we're back to 112. So we'll see where we're at. But that usually is a proxy for broader liquidity. So we'll see if that does really power to the downside, or this is just kind of a head fake sell-off. So we'll see on that. What else did we get? We had interest rates were down about 5 basis points on the short end. This is on the back of that attempted firing of the Fed governor, one of the Fed governors. And frankly, I think that's a bit of an overreaction. You did see the long end head higher, though. Okay. And that obviously steepened the yield curve. There's worries about inflation. You also had the consumer confidence number that was a bit better than expected. The consensus was 97. It came in at 97.4. So not a big beat, but certainly better there. But inflation expectations continue to, they ticked up for the first time in 3 months. So consumers are starting to see and feel inflation a bit more and building that into their future expectations. So that was really the big economic news as we wait for the NVIDIA news tomorrow. That's where we're at. Now, every day we receive questions from the comment section of the InvestTalk YouTube channel. And here's one that came in earlier. Cookie Production says, I was wondering if you could analyze Duolingo, D-U-O-L. D-U-O-L. This is a relatively recent IPO. I guess 2021 is when it IPO'd. It fell off from, IPO'd around 140, came down to a low around, $60 and change. Now we're at $316 per share because earnings were negative in 2022, made 35 cents in 2023. This was to make $3.25 this year and $4.78 next year. Now here's my issue with this. First off, even if you go based on forward-looking earnings, it is extremely rich. Extremely rich. You're talking forward multiple of 80 in that range? Very high. Then, if you look at some of the other metrics, price sales is 17.4. Very high. Enterprise value EBIT, 138. Extremely high. They have a good balance sheet. Net cash on the balance sheet. That's a good thing. But the multiple this is trading at is egregious. I would short it. And I would short it for a second reason. Not just the valuation. It's AI. Why pay for Duolingo when you could literally ask almost all the large language models to create a game, a quiz, do pretty much everything Duolingo does for you to help you learn a language? It can do that. So now, still, a lot of people will still use Duolingo. I don't think it's going away, but that medium to long-term threat is now there, clearly. And so I see no reason to pay this much of a premium. And frankly, this is rolled over. The technicals are rolling over in a big way, in a massive way. You're talking about this peaking out at, where are we? 550? Now we're already at 316. In fact, it peaked out at 550 back in April. So it's in a downtrend, and I would short it much more than I would buy it. But we're moving to a break, still to come. My focus point, more answers to your questions. But I encourage you to call right now on InvestTalk at 888-99-CHART.
In today's market, more than ever, you need unbiased investing guidance because it can help you achieve financial freedom. Well, you've come to the right place, InvestTalk. And Justin Klein is here now taking your calls live. So step up with your questions, 888-99-CHART.
Now, my main focus point today is about how the Fed is worried about the jobs market. And there are three major red flags that investors should be caring about. Number one is really around the hiring data that came out recently. There's a lot of headwinds, we know that. And on average, over the past 3 months, there's only been about net 35,000 jobs created. That compares to last year, 168,000 jobs were created each month. So that's number one, that sharp slowdown. And number two is long-term unemployed is now up considerably. Long-term job seekers are those that are considered unemployed for 27 weeks or longer. In July, that was about 1.8 million Americans that were unemployed for longer than 27 weeks. That was up 64% from 3 years ago and 20% from 1 year ago. So it shows you, hiring has slowed. Firings have not. Firings have not slowed dramatically, but hirings have slowed considerably. And then you look at young workers. And this is probably the most troubling because it's so important for those that exit college, especially if you have a lot of debt, to get a job and to start building real world experience. And unfortunately, that's not happening in a big way right now. If you look at younger workers as a percentage of the total unemployed, most of last year in 2023, it hung around between 9 and 10% of the unemployed population. Right now, it's about 13.5%. Think about that. It was pretty stable for a couple of years. Like I said, 8, 9, 10% been an uptrend since 2022, but it was relatively stable, like I said, up until June. And then it skyrocketed. So young workers are seeing limited new entry position opportunities. And a lot of that has to do with AI replacing starter jobs. So I think this is the beginning of the broader worry over AI's impact on the labor market. Put simply, white-collar jobs, white-collar companies can do more with less. And when companies can do that, they will. And they are in a big, big way. So I think that's the big takeaway here is one of the big reasons for the lack of hiring is AI. Another is labor supply, which we'll get to a little bit later. But understand that this is a good example about not everything in the world is black or white. There are, I would say everything in the world is not black and white, right? It has shades of gray, and there are multiple factors that go into it. And this is a good example of that, where you can't just blame it on AI. You can't just blame it on lack of immigration. You can't just blame it on tariffs, even though that does bring a murkiness to the picture. And a lot of companies are saying that. That economically, there's just too much uncertainty. And it's manifesting in why commit to a young, inexperienced worker and invest in them when I can spend $20 for ChatGPT or Perplexity or Gemini or Claude, whatever it is. And that's how this is manifesting in today's jobs market. And that's why the Fed chair is a bit hesitant to cut, right? Because this isn't a situation where the labor market is deteriorating on both ends. Usually that's how it works. There is a lack of need for workers and you naturally stop hiring and you shed workers. But that's not quite happening yet. So pretty interesting dynamics here on the demand side. And a bit later, we'll talk about the supply side. Now we're going to head to a quick break. And whatever's on your mind, you don't hesitate to give us a call. As usual, our number, same as always, 24/7, 365. You can give it a call. It's 888-99-CHART.
You know what doesn't belong in your epic summer plans? Getting burned by your old wireless bill. While you're planning beach trips, barbecues, and three-day weekends, your wireless bill should be the last thing holding you back. Maybe you should make the switch to Mint Mobile. With Mint, you can get the coverage and speed you're used to, but for way less money. And for a limited time, Mint Mobile is offering 3 months of unlimited premium wireless service for $15 a month. So, while your friends are sweating over data overages and surprise charges, you'll be chilling, literally and financially. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text, delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. I like Mint Mobile, and I think you will too. This year, skip breaking a sweat and breaking the bank. Get this new customer offer and your 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/investtalk. That's mintmobile.com/investtalk. Upfront payment of $45 required, equivalent to $15 a month. Limited time new customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds may slow above 35 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details.
No matter what our day looks like, I think we can agree that we all need nourishment that fuels us, right? So let me tell you about Kachava's Whole Body Meal Shakes. I'm really liking them. And bonus surprise, the Kachava Shakes come in 5 delicious flavors. Chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, coconut acai. Variety is a good thing. And it's easy to incorporate Kachava's Whole Body Meal Shakes into my daily routine. I like to personalize my Kachava by adding nice touches like frozen blueberries, almond milk, creatine. For me, the idea is to mix it up while keeping my body and mind nourished all day. In fact, cachava is a whole body meal with plant-based protein that actually tastes delicious. In those five indulgent flavors I mentioned, you get 25 grams of 100% plant-based protein with every two scoops of cachava. You get 85 plus superfoods, nutrients, and plant-based ingredients. Cachava is non-GMO. There are no artificial flavors, colors, or sweeteners. There's no soy, no animal products, no gluten, and no preservatives. You can even try cachava risk-free with their Love It guarantee. Fuel your day with cachava. Go to cachava.com and use code INVEST for 15% off your next order. That's cachava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com. Code INVEST for 15% off.
Every investor is working to build a secure financial future. The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances for success. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
All right, let's talk about the next InvestTalk. It's where we'll look into this question. Are you missing the key steps to maximize your retirement in the next 30 years? If you've got 30 years to go before retirement, you have time to learn how strategic asset allocation, consistent contributions, and adjusting for risk can help build a solid foundation for financial independence. We'll dig into that story tomorrow, but for now, let's go to a fresh listener question from 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Justin, Luke. This is Andrew from Buffalo. I was calling about the ticker stock Nike. It's obviously been in a bit of a downtrend, but it seems to have found its base and is working its way up. I was thinking about starting a small position here and was wondering what you thought. Thanks. Have a good day.
I'm taking a look at Nike, a name that's been kind of all over the board recently, but mainly in a downtrend. If you look at it, it peaked back in 2021 when everyone was home getting their stimulus checks, buying physical goods because they couldn't go out to restaurants and travel and things like that. So they had a little extra money in their pocket. What did they buy? A lot of them bought Nikes and their business boomed. But this peaked at around $177 per share at the end of 2021. But the recent low is around $53 per share. And now we're back up to 78, but still below the 100-week moving average. And it's in a broader downtrend. And the earnings continue to struggle. Earnings this year are expected to be down 23% to $1.66. They earned more than that during COVID, right? They're during the 2020 year when kind of everything was shut down, right? 2021 was really when it bounced back. That's where they made $3.56 and $3.75 in 2022, but that was the peak. And so they made a lot of missteps. They have a new CEO, and I think they can get their mojo back. I just think there's a lot of work to be done. And last quarter, revenue's down 12%. Earnings are down 86%. Now, earnings are supposed to bounce back next year to $2.43, but still, it's a $78 stock. And to me, you have to show that consistency of growth. They've lost a lot of ground to Hoka and On. And I just think they've lost their innovation mojo, and they need something to shake their business up beyond just retreading old sneakers, which they're great. I wear Nikes. When I play basketball, I wear Nikes. I love Nike. I love the brand. But it's a brand that unfortunately was taken over, and I say this all the time, but whenever I see a former CFO or somebody from a consulting company take over as CEO, especially for a consumer-facing brand, it's over for that brand. It's over, at least in the near term, until they, you know, put in somebody that can understand the aspects of brand building. What most CFOs or consultants do, they come in there and they get too cute and they look at the numbers and they dig in and they try to expand their margins and they do all these things to micromanage how it's all working, and they completely ignore the brand. And this is what happened with them. I think it was Donahue was the last CEO, if I remember correctly. And yeah, John Donahue. If I remember correctly, I think he's a former Bain Capital or I try to remember his background, but I remember it was in consulting. But it's just not the type of person you want as a CEO of Nike or any consumer-facing brand. And he really did a really terrible job. And this new CEO, much better background, but it's going to take a while. It's going to take some years for them to do more cool stuff. Think of back in the day, the Jordan commercials, the Spike Lee commercials. Just the coolness of the brand, I think, is still there and still can be revived, but it's faded and it needs a spark. And until they get that spark, I just don't feel confident in buying Nike. But a name that certainly stays on the watch list and can look attractive again in the near future. Now let's make it two in a row from 888-99 chart.
Hey, Justin or Luke, this is Tyler from Kansas City. My question today has to do with earnings forecasts. I have a list of maybe 30 to 40 stocks that have alerts at prices I find them interesting at. When the alert goes off, I reconfirm that I'm still interested in these names and then sell puts or go ahead and buy into the names if I don't think they'll go in any lower. Over the years, I noticed that a decent percentage of these alerts happen when an earnings or revenue forecast gets a revision to the downside. All my information sources seem to be late by 1 to 3 days. This gets frustrating when I take a position just to realize that forecasts have been lowered to a point that I would have lowered my target buy-in price. Who have you found to be the best original sources that indicate these revisions? And do you register to anyone specific for these type of forecasted earnings and or revenue alerts? Thank you, guys. I'll be listening on the podcast.
This is a great question. And this is an area where it's difficult for the average investor to get good up-to-date data. We use FactSet. Now we have, we're an RIA, we're a financial advisor. We can pay for it. It's tens of thousands of dollars a year for this data. And what they're doing is they're aggregating all of the earnings estimates from the major banks. We can see it. We can go in, we can see every single one, what the trend is. Is it rising? Is it falling? Is it staying flat? What does it look like for this year, next year, even the year after? And we can see that pretty much in real time. And so that's how we do it. Now, there are other tools that access some of FactSet's data, but you're not going to get the granular details there. And I don't know how fast they get an update from FactSet. Right, there might be some delay there. I'm not sure. So that's kind of that difficult separation between it. It's maybe something where AI could help, right? Scraping the internet for the most up-to-date earnings data. But as we know, AI kind of make sure you check where it's coming from and check its sources. It should link its sources out, and then you can kind of dig into there. That's probably what I would do if I didn't have something like FactSet, which I can go to at any time and just grab. So that's where we're at. Hopefully that helps. It's probably not a complete answer, but at least a direction you can go in. Thanks for the call. Let's talk about the labor market in regards to immigration, the supply side. And this is, especially in today's world, this is not a political argument. It's simply an economic discussion. What are the impacts of the lack of immigration? And this is basically, we went to from the biggest wave in immigration to none in a very short period of time. And this year, net immigration could be negative for the first time in decades. And this could have long-term economic growth impacts. Could create larger budget deficits and make it more difficult for us to sustain Social Security, et cetera. Now, from 2010 to 2019, pre-COVID, about 917,000 people enter the country annually on average, according to the Congressional Budget Office. That went up to 3.3 million in 2023 and 2.7 million in 2024. So it slowed, but still very, very high. But estimates are that we're going to go to maybe net zero. And some are saying we could drop as much as 205,000 people this year. Now, this is assuming that out migration is between 675,000 and 1 million due to increased deportations and voluntary departures. Now, the last time net immigration was this low was the 1960s. That's when boomers were entering the workforce and there's plenty of excess supply of labor. So we didn't really need new workers. We had plenty. There wasn't that opportunity and especially the ease of people getting to America. But now the opposite's happening. The boomers are retiring, leaving the labor force. And so the economy is for economic growth is dependent on immigration in some way, shape, or form. Obviously, some industries more than others. Apollo estimates that without immigration, we'd only produce about 24,000 jobs a month. That compares to an average of 155,000 jobs between 2015 and 2024. Now, what this is going to look like exactly, getting the exact data, it's very difficult. It's hard to really find how many people are truly leaving, how many people are coming in. But it's clear that this is part of the labor market dynamics that are happening right now. Now, economists surveyed by the Wall Street Journal last month, they expect the immigration policies to subtract 0.2% from growth next year and 0.3% from growth the following year. So not a death knell to the economy, but certainly material. Some tech sectors obviously will be impacted more than others. In 2023, for example, non-citizens made up 33% of maids and housekeepers. 30% of construction workers were non-citizens, and 24% of landscape workers were non-citizens. And the agricultural department, they estimate that 42% of crop workers were immigrants without work authorization. So clearly those sectors will be hurt the most. Then you have to also think of the downstream effects of that. For example, construction. Will less homes be built because of it? For maids and housekeepers, will hotels have trouble staying staffed and cleaning, you know, having the capacity, right, to clean that many rooms in that time frame? And then you have to look at fertility rates. Fertility rates are expected to continue to drop. And the forecast is that deaths will outpace births in America by 2033, just in 7 years earlier than previously projected because the birth rate continues to decline. So without positive net immigration, you're going to see populations shrink. And like I said at the beginning, this is going to strain finances and sectors like housing. So you're just talking about a less dynamic economy and over the long run, less income per capita. And remember, whether you're legal or illegal, it's about income in the broader economy and their spending. Now, once again, not saying this is good or bad. You know, it's up to you on your political, you know, how you believe this should impact the country and what's right from a policy perspective. That's not what I'm arguing here. All I'm saying is these are the facts. Maybe this is good. Maybe we need less population. Maybe we need less dynamism. Maybe we need an economy that shifts to the working class, for example, et cetera. There's arguments for that. And I'm not here to make those. I'm here to just tell you the economic impact. Let's go with another YouTube comment question. Caleb Turner says, what are your thoughts on Robinhood Markets? HOOD is a symbol. I've been holding since April and bought in around $40 per share. Taking a look at Robinhood. This is a name that ebbs and flows with retail investor activity. And right now, for the most part, the retail investor is still all in, especially on AI and crypto, etc. And this is a name that during 2022, when the market sank, well, this sank too. From a high around $80 per share back in early 2021, to a low around, what was this, $6 per share. Now we're up to $108 per share. Earnings this year is supposed to be $1.63, $1.86 next year. So quite expensive. Now, if I look at some of the other metrics, let's dig in here. You're looking at about $10 billion in net debt. Not too bad on a $96 billion market cap. Free cash flow, $876 million. That's good. But once again, about a 1% free cash flow yield. And guess what? End of last year, free cash flow was negative $250 billion. So it's all over the place from that perspective. I just think this is way too expensive. Price sales 27.5. When liquidity ebbs and ultimately crypto and a lot of these meme stocks and AI stocks kind of top and this bubble bursts, this will go down considerably, similar to what you saw in 2022. So I just think this is a fairly good short. Now, I probably wouldn't short it right now because the technicals are not terrible, but they're certainly deteriorating at these levels. Its momentum is stalled here since July. MACD has rolled over. It has a micro bearish pattern over the last week. So the valuation and the chart, I'm starting to add this up to. This is kind of telling me a lot about, I think, the broader market and crypto. You see, like I said earlier, crypto has broken some major support. And this is starting to look like a pretty good short. So interesting that both YouTube questions line up to be pretty good shorts in my mind. Now, this is InvestTalk. I'm Justin Klein. We have one goal here each and every weekday, and that's to help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break, so get your questions in right now at 888-99-CHART.
Everybody wants a secure financial future, but getting there takes strategy, discipline, and the right information. That means you'll have finance and investment questions. So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Let's talk about metals. Not precious metals, but more industrial metals. And probably the most important industrial metal, and that is copper. And recently, President Trump met with the CEOs of Rio Tinto, as well as BHP Group. These are the two of the largest mining companies in the world. And what they discussed was a copper project in Arizona that's been held up for decades, that is trying to get across the finish line to begin mining and get through the regulatory process. And they're making, the President Trump and his administration are making metal production overall a key priority, and mainly copper, mainly because that's vital to the energy transition as well as conventional pipes you find in a home. So from building homes to building AI data centers to modernizing the electric grid, copper is needed in a big, big way. And unfortunately, there is not a lot of new developments for copper, new copper production, or new copper mining, shall we say. And in America, on average, it takes 29 years between discovery and commercial mine production. Think about that, 29 years, three decades. That's the longest timeline of any country except Zambia. Now, other countries do it a lot faster, but it still takes a while. On average, it's close to a decade between, once again, discovery and final production. And another issue with supply of copper is that most easy to reach deposits were depleted during the 20th century, long time ago. Now miners must go deeper, so it costs more. And you have to employ technology where to allow these humans to go deeper into the earth and survive. Something that 50, 100 years ago, we didn't have a lot of this technology. Now, if this project goes forward, it would supply the U.S. with 25% of its annual copper needs for as many as 40 years. But it's been delayed for decades, permitting, environmental concerns, and litigation. But final environmental approval was given in June, but opponents, again, appealed. And they want a delay to keep from developing these deposits. And obviously, President Trump criticized this ruling. And so this is something that probably will eventually go through and is very interesting. But what's most interesting is the focus of this administration, which is really pushing on the industrial aspect and the ways that it can incentivize and coerce, right? These picks and picks, carrots and sticks. There we go. That's what I meant. Carrots and sticks. That's part of their running philosophy, is to give some incentives, but also demand a lot if they're going to do business, for example, in the United States. And so I thought this was interesting because it certainly will have a broader impact on the copper space if it does get passed. And I think it will get through in this administration. But so far this year, despite this, benchmark copper is up 11% on the year. So I don't think it's really changed the long-term supply-demand dynamic. There's still not enough demand. And this mine will take a long time really up and running and to create production. Well, that about does it. I appreciate you all tuning in for this hour. Hope you got a lot out of it. Don't hesitate to reach out. Give us a call anytime, 888-99-CHART, if you have any questions that are on your mind. I'm Justin Klein, and if today's show made you think about your own personal financial picture in any way, head over to investtalk.com, schedule a no-cost portfolio review with myself or Luke. Whether it's about investments, taxes, retirements, whatever's on your mind, real estate, all of this, these meetings are designed to bring clarity and confidence to your own personal situation. So just go to investtalk.com once again and click on portfolio review. When we thank you for listening. We encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes, Spotify, and over on our YouTube channel. And please be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.